produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. Good to be back with you once again, and we're looking forward to today's show. We have a very special guest with us today, and we are going to have a tremendous show today. On Friday night, June the 14th, I received a phone call from a friend of mine who said that there was an organization that he was doing some work for that needed some volunteers to help move some furniture the next day. And it was very short notice, and I thought, well, let me make a couple of phone calls before I make any commitments to see if we can line up some help. And I made those phone calls, and the help was available. And the following day, I got to meet this wonderful individual by the name of Brian Callies, who has put together an organization that is absolutely amazing called Saving Lost Kids. It's part of his Brian Callies Foundation. And so today, I want to welcome to our show Brian Callies. How are you, sir? Welcome.
I am so honored to be on the show, and I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much. This is going to be a great opportunity.
Well, we are happy to have you with us. Now, as everyone who has listened to our programs in the past know, we are all about empowering our communities through families, and empowering our families become strong rock beds of our society. And obviously, we live in an age where there are tremendous threats to family sanctity and family life. And I would like to introduce Brian to you and let him give us a little background about who he is, how he's come about to starting this organization, and we'll go from there. So, Brian, take it away, my friend.
Great. Thank you so much, my friend. I guess just a little bit of history on me. I'm not usually great at talking just about me, so I'll just give a real quick recap. So I was born originally in Oklahoma, was very heavy into Boy Scouts, that kind of thing. So I was always gravitated around children, ended up going to Arkansas and then back here in Memphis, Tennessee. And in Memphis, I've again, almost always operated around youth or something like that, either in the church or through music, music ministries and church ministries. And I ended up meeting my wife actually here in Memphis. And so this is kind of where I guess I officially called home about 20 years ago. And I've always kind of been into ministry. God's always led me one way or another to doing and making an impact on whatever area I'm around. So typically around youth a lot of times. About three and a half years ago, I've always followed him, but I kind of gave him the reins on something. So there's kind of a couple different ways that I've seen that you can, follow in faith or follow God. And one is to kind of come up with great ideas and thoughts and ambitions and they might be noble and great, and you head down that path. And the second way is to kind of let Jesus take the wheel, is what they said on a radio song there. It's more like, well, let's let God just lead you, and whatever crazy wild thing he gives you is what you're going to head to. So I did that about 3.5 years ago. And at the time, he he gave me the call to save lost kids. And I thought that was a ministry side, but really he was showing me that missing, exploited, and sex trafficking of children, he wanted me to step into that world. And I, being totally honest and transparent, I thought he was crazy. I didn't have a background in that. You know, I didn't know why he was leading me there. But I knew that was where it was being led to. So I started stepping into that, and I found the how bad the need was in that, that most of the things I thought, same thing most parents think and probably most people think, is that this is kind of being covered or taken taken care of. You know, that there's this is a topic or a situation that has a lot of hands on it, and that there's so much being done. It's not really, it's a problem, but it's a problem that's being addressed. That's what I thought. When we got involved, and really involved, you can see how deep the rabbit hole goes, and you find out how much is not being done, how much is ignored, under the table, and honestly, a lot of people are just kind of clueless on how to address this. And so it took maybe 6 months before I realized and said, oh, now I get it, why you're leading me here. Because if, you know, God cares so much for his kids, so much for his children, that he can see all these things that are happening to his kids. And I think it really, really weighs on him enough that this is where he pulled me to go, and to then my family to go, to make a difference for children and families that are being affected by going missing, exploited, or sex trafficking.
By way of background, you have some statistics as to how big of a problem this is in, say, the Memphis community or state, and maybe even nationwide, as far as sex trafficking and missing children?
Sure. So everybody wants to talk about sex trafficking. So to me, you can't talk about that without talking about missing children. You can't talk about that without runaways. So let me explain what I mean. You know, missing children have been around for so long that kids have gone missing for usually runaways and things like that for a long time. But today it is so much more prevalent that the kids that have run away are getting caught up now into some of the nefarious things that the bad guys are doing. So sex trafficking is one of the most public, everybody knows about it. It's a buzzword that's now being talked about. Thank God it's being talked about, because it's been around also for a while. But the only way to really address a problem and avoid a problem is to speak about it and to have some wisdom on it. So to answer your question, so on the sex trafficking side, nationally, sex trafficking is the number one growing crime in America. It's the fastest growing crime in the country. So in the top three criminal enterprises, there are sell of guns, sell of drugs, and now basically it's the sell of people. And so there's a lot of reasons for that, but it's a lot, most of it's wrapped up into the concept of money, right? Sell drugs and guns to get money. And now a lot of the gangs, some of the criminal organizations, and just people in general have discovered how much money there is to be made, as sad as this sounds, in selling people. In other words, sex trafficking. So right now, it's in the top three of the country, and it's the fastest growing. If it continues going on its trend that it's doing, it's predicted in the next year or two that it'll exceed one of the other two. So
wow,
as far as being in Memphis and where everybody rates it, it's a difficult thing to rate. But Memphis is not as high as what some of the other cities are. It's in line with what larger cities have. So I think the last time I looked, Memphis, if you look at a statistic, Memphis is about the 40th in the country, something like that, of the larger cities. But we absolutely have an issue here in Memphis because it's a nationwide problem. Most people don't realize this. They think that sex trafficking is in this neighborhood, but not in this neighborhood, because maybe you're in a neighborhood that's smaller. Maybe you have more income in that neighborhood, and it's just kind of not something that's usually thought about. Absolutely, there are sex trafficking issues in that neighborhood. There always is. So we just did a rescue not too long ago out of Germantown, to give you a hint. And we did a rescue out of Fraser. So both of them, Fraser, Germantown, you know, it's not really that you're safe from sex trafficking because you move to a different place. And that's what a lot of people think.
So fundamentally, in your experience with children that go missing or become runaways, not so much they become missing as a result of running away, but what are some of the factors that cause children to run away from home typically?
Great, great, great question. All right. So the reason I bring up runaway, by the way, is so of all the children that went missing last year around the country, the statistics are pretty clear that the vast, vast, vast majority of them were runaways. That's where they have the one thing in common. They ended up running away from home. So according to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, their statistic is 92% of the cases they studied and the ones they reviewed last year, 92% are runaways, endangered runaways, meaning the runaways that they didn't get from, you know, it's not like anyone knows where they're at, where they're headed. They can't sustain themselves. They can't provide for themselves. So they're just children that have run away. A lot of times, those runaways can even be legitimate in the sense that maybe they were being, say, abused at home, or maybe their home situation was terrible and that encouraged them to run away. Maybe they didn't have that relationship with their mother, their father, caretakers, and that led a lot to it. But at least half of those are children that are, when they run away, they have another component pulled in. So that means they're being lured or guided away. Usually that's where they fall into sex trafficking, is there's another piece to the puzzle that is also pulling them from the outside, usually to fulfill a need that they don't get inside of the family. So what we found is that many of the kids that come out are from, that are into sex trafficking now or gone missing, they're from homes that they're a little bit broken, maybe, that they the children don't have a way of communicating with their parents sometimes when they're going through problems and they're going through issues. And then they're, honestly, they're children. So children get into trouble, they get into trouble situations, they make mistakes, they do these things. And, you know, if they can't deal with those issues at home with the family, so let's say mom's there, if they don't have that communicative tool and they're not sitting down and working together to solve problems, and mother, maybe we see a lot of times that the parents aren't involved in their lives much, and that aids into them being much more prevalent to run away. So if they can't deal with a problem at home, you know, they'll a lot of times look outwardly to deal with issues, deal with problems, get basically acceptance. That's kind of what they're looking for, is to belong to something. And
have you found that do more young men run away, or is it more girls, or is it a pretty even mix?
Well, that's a good question. I see, trying to think of the statistics. It is a huge mix. It is a tremendous mix, but I can't remember. I think the mix is, if I remember right, more like 40-60. I would think, without actually seeing statistics, I don't want to speak on it, but it's getting close to 50-50. So it's a problem just as much for boys as it is for girls. And
okay. Well, right now it's a little more girls, fewer boys, just a little bit. Is that what you're saying? 40-60 maybe boys, 60% girls?
From what I've seen, yes. Okay. I don't know that I've actually seen that statistic to prove it one way or another. But in our world of sex trafficking and things, it's definitely leaning towards the girl side.
And I assume, yeah, I would imagine so. Sad to say, but yeah. So, in terms of things that you've observed with families where you've done rescues, what have you noticed as being kind of the top two or three issues that you've seen most families where a runaway? Because I know you've addressed some of the poor communication skills, broken homes. So, does this affect single parent homes more than couple married homes, or is it run across the gamut? Is it equal or the same?
Well, all right. Let me see if I can be a little honest, and I'm trying to work off of facts rather than opinion. So let me. I think God was clever when He created the logic of having a male and a female. In other words, a mom and a dad in the home, because moms sometimes address things differently than dads do. So where moms are sometimes more caring, nurturing, loving, acceptance, and dads are sometimes more disciplinarian, and they're the guardians, they're the protectors, okay? So I'm going to speak about one of the cases that we have right now that is an issue is there's no father in the home of this one, in the picture of this. And that's when the problems began, is when the father was removed from the home. So once that happened, it's almost like there's not a guardian there that is being able to tell the young lady that, no, you can't go see this boy. You can't go and do this. So the discipline side was lacking to the point where the child now is able to kind of do as she pleases. So mother's not holding up the discipline, and it's not mom's fault necessarily. I'm not putting her down for it by any means. It's just that sometimes it's easier, right, to have a male and a female in the home looking at it from two different points of view.
And well, that is the way that Heavenly Father kind of designed the family unit, but we know the realities of our modern age. Now, how old, just as an example, was this particular youth that you're talking about?
12 when I first got involved, 13 now.
Wow, that young, huh?
And if we're going to be really honest about not just that one child, but in general. So if we, what was really happening, I think, in an underlying current that caused this. So to me, it's about rewinding the clock. So yes, she got sex trafficked because she ran off and ran away, because she was vulnerable at relationships, because father's been removed from the home, and that's been a big encouragement, I believe, in what's kind of transpired. So if you can rewind the clock and start from the beginning, now I don't want to discourage single mothers. I think single mothers are amazing at being able to do something that is so tremendously hard, because you're basically assuming the responsibility of two roles. But I do want to encourage single mothers to think that you have that responsibility of two roles, and without the male figure in the house, something's got to support that. If it does not, what was happening in this case is the child was angry and frustrated, and pretty much because the father wasn't in the picture, that anger and frustration was never dealt with. No one's ever really spoke to her about it to help her to cope, to deal with it, to communicate. So communication comes back to being the key across the board. It's almost universal. All of us guys that work on child endangerment, misexploited, sex trafficking, that kind of thing, we always have to go back to it. Kind of goes back a lot of times with the relationship of the household. It's not what most people think. It's very rare that a stranger will just abduct a child that they don't know off the street. And we hear about that on television, that kind of stuff. But when you look at the numbers, less than 1% of the time does that happen.
What percent?
Less than 1%.
Wow.
Is a stranger abduction.
Wow.
It's what really happens is like we talked about 92% will run away, and they're running away for a reason. And sometimes it's legitimate, but sometimes it's just because that communication at home is just not there. They don't feel like maybe their parents love them, or they just don't have that. They're dealing with a problem, like in this case with that child, and I've seen this several times now. This child needed to talk to mother and needed a third person in that picture. They needed a counselor, somebody to help the child to deal with the anger that she had from losing her dad. Because that never happened, the anger matured into the fact that now she didn't have respect for the mother. And so now there's not a chance of that communication piece working. So she didn't get acceptance there at the home of feeling like she is really happy, let's say, at home. Well, if you're not happy at home, you're going to do the next step, which is trying to find happiness. If you can't find it at home, you will try to find your acceptance, your joy, your relationships and stuff with somebody outwardly. In this case, it was a 40-something-year-old man who offered to befriend, to offered love, but which we know as adults that wasn't real love, who offered these things that she was lacking at home. And that's what these guys are preying on. The traffickers or people who lead ladies to leave the home and things like that, these lures is what we call them, that's what they're leaning on. They're leaning on taking advantage of something that's in the child's life that is lacking, and then they're going to try to fill that. And we know it's all a trick. It's all a ploy. It's all just a game to them as a way to get control and a way to get the girls to follow or even the boys to follow. But it's almost always a taken advantage of. Most come from broken homes, and most are just looking for acceptance, looking for something to belong.
So do most of these connections occur through online contacts, or is it more in the public arena? How do most of these connections occur typically?
Well, online is anywhere that a predator can get his hand into to communicate with a child is free game to them, and they exploit every new thing that's out there. So a lot of apps, yes, that, you know, telephone apps like Facebook, any of those social media platforms are absolute targets, and they almost always cheat. They will never tell the girls the truth about who they are. They were going to candy coat it and then try to get the boys or girls' confidence. And that generally will lead to, let me offer you a relationship. So it could be a friendship relationship. More times than not, it's going to be a love type of relationship. Or in the case like the other one, it was more of a father kind of logic. So there wasn't a male in the picture, so we're going to supply this. And we'll act like a boyfriend. And we'll say, well, we're going to give you a house and nice shoes and nice stuff. So that's definitely one way. And a new kind of a more new way we're seeing a lot of is online gaming. Anything we can do to get to access to the children. So online gaming is a big thing now that most of the time, if you don't have youngsters now, if you do, you'll know that things like Fortnite, Minecraft, some of these kind of games have chat abilities and the ability to talk either with text or over the microphones, and you're talking to somebody. And that's kind of what this is an open platform to let them play games against other opponents who are people they've never met. They're just a character. And bad guys are just going to exploit that. And they have done a very good job of exploiting that. So then they become friends with these people on their games. And eventually that somebody asks them, well, let's hook up. Don't tell your mom or don't tell your dad. Let's just meet in person to find out that might be a 20, 30, 40, 50-year-old man or woman, because there are women traffickers as well, and a lot of them. And that's just kind of a way to exploit the situation.
Brian, we're getting down to the wire on our time, so let me ask kind of in conclusion here. Mm-hmm. what your organization does, how where people can go to find your information, and perhaps if people would like to volunteer to help your organization either with time or with resources, share with us some of that information if you could.
Sure, sure. Well, we started the program itself of the public side of doing something that we call Prevent and Protect. And that's where we go out to the communities. We do a tremendous number of events now. We're somewhere in 200 and 250 this year, events that we'll attend. And our goal is to get children two steps closer to safety. And one of the ways that we do that is by teaching them, educating them, showing the parents what to look out for so that they have, they know the red flags, because there are absolutely red flags you can see. And then the children, how to make safer choices, because the choice will always go back to the children. They have to make the choices. And we always say that if two or three unsafe choices will have you going missing most of the time, two or three others, you're going to end up being trafficked. That's kind of what the pattern that we find is. So if we can teach the children a safer choice and have encourage them to make it, then that's the best. And we want to get parents re-involved and caring enough about your child's welfare as far as your safety goes. Most children or most parents are clueless of what the problem is, what the dangers are. And so they can't obviously protect their children as much as they should if they don't know where the dangers are. So we want to educate the parents. We go out to public events to do that, to engage with as many children as we can, and schools and things like that. Always looking for volunteer opportunities. It's pretty easy. It's kind of fun. We dedicate you to one thing. We do free child safety IDs. That's a big draw that we do. So they have height and weight and pictures and DNA and all that kind of fingerprints, all that kind of neat stuff. And we kind of will take volunteers for each piece of that. So we might have up to 6-8 volunteers at an event, each one kind of doing one thing like height, weight, registration or something. It's pretty simple stuff, but it's kind of fun. And it also, you're learning as much as they are about how to avoid these dangers and how to teach it and educate your children with it. Everything we do is free for families. 100%. So we're always relying on, depending on, counting on, praying for support from others who have a heart of wanting to make a difference. So donating is one of the biggest things you can do to help us. Since everything we do is a charity that just goes out to serve, we have a big campaign right now to try to get monthly donors so that we can win some of these bigger grants. We have to have more stability. Organization kind of does that it's not just a one-time give, but you're going to give a small amount or an amount each month. That shows that you're kind of partnered with us, and we're just looking for those partners, those key people as well that wants to really be a part of a solution to something. We're growing so fast. We're out now going to be doubling the team and expanding out, maybe having a branch in Nashville, and we're just going to keep reaching out and doing as much impact as we can.
Well, I know in talking with you, you've indicated that in just this 3-year period you've been doing this, that you've provided these ID kits for kids to a total of almost 9,000 kids here in the Memphis community. That is remarkable. And from what you've indicated, you've provided education to some 50,000 to 60,000 parents along the way. That is awesome. It's been my privilege working with members of my church to be involved in some of these volunteer opportunities, and we have gained great appreciation as we have seen long lines of parents and children coming to these events where the booths are located, and seeing them go through the process and to see how happy they are, because I know you provide the parents with little dental hygiene kits, and you give away free gun locks for those who may have guns in the home, and teach about that safety issue. So a lot of good being done by this wonderful man and his wife, Alinda. We wish she could have been on the program with us today. And I suspect that in the near future, Brian, we're going to have a repeat, because there was so much we didn't get to talk about today.
Yes, there is. There was. And we would love that. I want to thank you. You're, joint partners with you of getting all the volunteers and guys that are really dedicated to trying to help us make a difference has really, really helped. And we can just reach more and more as we keep going. So together, unity is the key. Together, we can make the biggest difference.
Amen to that, my friend. Well, we want to thank everyone for listening in to this show today, and especially thank our guest, Brian Callies, for his sacrifice and service to our community and for his being with us today. He's an amazing individual and is doing a marvelous work for our society and for our community and for our families. I testify of this to you, that he has done a remarkable thing, and I do so in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well,
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.